Chapter 127. Mystery I cannot penetrate, but it has been, and it is, a happiness to me, that I remain true to him, that if he should wake from his delusion, even at the point of death, I am here, love, to recall you to his thoughts. Apostrophe, Martin looked with admiration on her glowing face, and pressed his lips to hers. I have sometimes heard, and read, apostrophe she said, that those whose powers had been enfeebled long ago, and whose lives had faded, as it were, into a dream, have been known to rouse themselves before death, and inquire for familiar faces once very dear to them, but forgotten, unrecognized, hated even, in the meantime. Think, if with his old impressions of this man, he should suddenly resume his former self, and find in him his only friend. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I would not urge you to abandon him, dearest, apostrophe said Martin, though I could count the years we are to wear out asunder. But the influence this fellow exercises over him has steadily increased, I fear. Apostrophe, she could not help admitting that. Steadily, imperceptibly, and surely, until it was paramount and supreme. She herself had none, and yet he treated her with more affection than at any previous time. Martin thought the inconsistency a part of his weakness and decay. Does the influence extend to fear? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. Is he timid of asserting his own opinion in the presence of this infatuation? I fancied so just now. Apostrophe, I have thought so, often. Often when we are sitting alone, almost as we used to do, and I have been reading a favorite book to him, or he has been talking quite cheerfully, I have observed that the entrance of Mr. Pecksniff has changed his whole demeanor. He has broken off immediately, and become what you have seen today. When we first came here he had his impetuous outbreaks, in which it was not easy for Mr. Pecksniff with his utmost plausibility to appease him. But these have long since dwindled away. He defers to him in everything, and has no opinion upon any question, but that which is forced upon him by this treacherous man. Apostrophe, such was the account, rapidly furnished in whispers, and interrupted, brief as it was, by many false alarms of Mr. Pecksniff's return, which Martin received of his grandfather's decline, and of that good gentleman's ascendancy. He heard of Tom Pinch too, and Jonas too, with not a little about himself into the bargain, for though lovers are remarkable for leaving a great deal unsaid on all occasions, and very properly desiring to come back and say it, they are remarkable also for a wonderful power of condensation, and can, in one way or other, give utterance to more language eloquent language in any given short space of time, than all the 658 members in the Commons House of Parliament of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, who are strong lovers no doubt, but of their country only, which makes all the difference. For in a passion of that kind which is not always returned, it is the custom to use as many words as possible, and express nothing whatever. A caution from Mr. Tapley, a hasty interchange of farewells, and of something else which the proverb says, must not be told of afterwards. A white hand held out to Mr. Tapley himself, which he kissed with the devotion of a knight-errant, more farewells, more something else's. A parting word from Martin, that he would write from London, and would do great things there, yet heaven knows what, but he quite believed it, and Mark and he stood on the outside of the Pecksniffian halls. A short interview after such an absence. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin, sorrowfully. But we are well out of the house. We might have placed ourselves in a false position by remaining there, even so long, Mark. Apostrophe, I don't know about ourselves, sir, apostrophe he returned, but somebody else would have got into a false position, if he had happened to come back again, while we was there. I had the door all ready, sir. If Pecksniff had showed his head, or had only so much as listened behind it, I would have caught him like a walnut. He's the sort of man, apostrophe added Mr. Tapley, musing, as would squeeze soft, I know. apostrophe, a person who was evidently going to Mr. Pecksniff's house, passed him at this moment. He raised his eyes at the mention of the architect's name, and when he had gone on a few yards, stopped and gazed at them. Mr. Tapley, also, looked over his shoulder, and so did Martin, for the stranger, as he passed, had looked very sharply at them. Who may that be, I wonder? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. The face seems familiar to me, but I don't know the man. Apostrophe, he seems to have a amiable desire that his face should be tolerable familiar to us, apostrophe, said Mr. Tapley, for he's a staring pretty hard. He'd better not waste his beauty, for he ain't got much to spare. Apostrophe, coming in sight of the Dragon, they saw a traveling carriage at the door. And a Salisbury carriage, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Tapley. That's what he came in, depend upon it. What's in the wind now? A new pupil, I shouldn't wonder. Perhaps it's a order for another grammar school, of the same pattern as the last. Apostrophe, before they could enter at the door, Mrs. Lupin came running out, and beckoning them to the carriage, showed them a portmanteau with the name of Chuzzlewit upon it. Miss Pecksniff's husband that was, apostrophe, said the good woman to Martin. I didn't know what terms you might be on, and was quite in a worry till you came back. Apostrophe, he and I have never interchanged a word yet, apostrophe, observed Martin. And as I have no wish to be better or worse acquainted with him, I will not put myself in his way. We passed him on the road, I have no doubt. I am glad he timed his coming as he did. Upon my word, Miss Pecksniff's husband travels gaily. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a very fine-looking gentleman with him in the best room now, apostrophe, whispered Mrs. Lupin, glancing up at the window as they went into the house. He has ordered everything that can be got for dinner, and has the glossiest mustaches and whiskers ever you saw. Apostrophe, has he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Martin. Why then we'll endeavor to avoid him too, in the hope that our self-denial may be strong enough for the sacrifice. It is only for a few hours, apostrophe, said Martin, dropping wearily into a chair behind the little screen in the bar. Our visit has met with no success, my dear Mrs. Lupin, and I must go to London. Apostrophe, dear, dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the hostess. Yes, one foul wind no more makes a winter than one swallow makes a summer. I'll try it again. Tom Pinch has succeeded. With his advice to guide me, I may do the same. I took Tom under my protection once. God save the mark. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin, with a melancholy smile, and promised I would make his fortune. Perhaps Tom will take me under his protection now, and teach me how to earn my bread. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.